Our reading is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The story of James and John makes us face up to the fact that they are simply mirroring the human default position of self-preservation and putting ourselves above others. And I think we all have that tendency if we're absolutely honest with ourselves. James and John want to take up these special places with Jesus, to be seated at each side of him in glory. We don't quite know what their reasoning was. We don't really know what their understanding of sitting either side of Jesus in glory meant. But Jesus knows, because Jesus was able to see into their hearts, and Jesus recognises that they have no idea of the implications of what they're asking, of trying to put themselves into what they must have thought were positions of privilege and power. Not surprisingly, when the other disciples get to hear of James and John's request, it really upsets them. And I guess in order to be upset, they must have been thinking on the same lines as James and John, that they were asking for these positions of privilege and power. We know only too well, don't we, from our own experiences of life, that when individuals strive for power and privilege within a community, it so often causes division. October, as you may well be aware, is Black History Month, when we are encouraged to think about the achievements of people of global majority heritage, which so often throughout history has either been overlooked, diminished, or even hidden. And as we focus on Black History Month, it's hard not to see jumping out of us a couple of words in verses 43 and 44 of our reading, those words being slavery and servanthood, both of which come from cultures where those seeking power above others are able to do so at great cost and suffering to others. We witness this through the atrocities of the transatlantic slave trade, 300 years of it between the 16th and 19th centuries. This was a time when race was abused for power and privilege. It's as simple as that. But, you know, let's not allow the word history or those seemingly old dates lead us into believing that everything is now sorted. Today, we live with the difficult legacy of that trade. We have modern day slavery. That's very much here and present. And we live in a society where so much division exists based on all kinds of differences. But of course, in the UK, over the summer, What really came into the headlines was how much division is created by racism, by differing attitudes to race. And it was heartbreaking, I'm sure, for most of us. When Jesus spoke about slavery and servitude to his disciples, he did so in a society where very, very many people, the majority, were living in poverty and in horrendous conditions, either as slaves or as servants. The whole issue runs throughout the Bible. In verse 42, Jesus makes reference to the Gentiles and by definition, Jews. And again, he's highlighting how society at the time was blighted by division. And many sections of society at that time believed that they were better than the others. The Jews believed themselves to be better than the Gentiles. And that's without even going into the history of religions at the time, where again, Pharisees often put themselves above others and lived lives of privilege, which Jesus was so often in a position to criticize. What Jesus makes very clear throughout his lifetime, and he role modeled it, is that Christian privilege and power is the complete opposite to society's. What does he say? He says, "Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus did that, of course, when he died on the cross for us, the ultimate level of selflessness, suffering, and sacrifice. But Jesus also modelled humility and having a heart to serve throughout his life, very often putting his own needs below others. He washed his disciples' feet. He fed the hungry. He made himself unclean by touching outcasts. He cooked. He fished. He was a king. And yet, in human terms, he'd have been expected to be waited upon and pampered, living a life of luxury. He'd have been expected to have been travelling around in a carriage with slaves, wearing fine clothes and jewellery. Instead, Jesus walked with his disciples alongside him. He travelled with minimal belongings. He relied on charity. He relied on food and shelter from others. And even when he was welcomed into Jerusalem as a king, on what we refer to as Palm Sunday, he rode on a donkey, a symbol in itself that his kingship was very, very different to that the world understood. His idea of power and privilege was going to turn society's expectations on its head. The way of Jesus is to put himself out for others, to approach everything with a heart of wanting to serve others and to alleviate suffering, lowering himself in terms of status in order to do so. And Jesus also constantly stood up for justice. He came to bring freedom and not imprisonment. On numerous occasions, he offers people he encounters freedom. Devastatingly and completely shockingly, when you read into the history, the Christian church not only failed to condemn transatlantic slavery at the time, some actively supported it. I desperately hope that we never see a situation like that again. But as we face contemporary forms of slavery, of oppression, of division, of hatred, as a Christian community and as individuals, we have a really important role to play. As followers of Jesus, we are called to live our lives as he did, never putting ourselves above others and always striving to make the lives of others better. Martin Luther King, himself of global majority heritage, with a passion for justice, which of course was born out of seeing so much injustice and experiencing so much injustice and inequality, wrote this: "Life's most urgent question is this: what are you doing for others?" Life's most urgent question is this: what are you doing for others? Perhaps if we were to enter each day and each situation asking ourselves that question, we would be in a really good position to play our small but absolutely essential part in healing our fractured world and in bringing the light of God's love into areas of the world, into situations where it is so needed. Life's most urgent question is this: what are you doing for others? It is about not what we're doing for ourselves, but what we are doing for others.